The store has actually been there for 87 years and had a great following as far as we're from a very rural area in Northwest Kansas.
What's it like running a business in that type of town and community?
There's a lot of good and a lot of bad. I'd say the challenges that we encounter are logistics, for one. Another challenge that I tend to have, and although I don't think it's just a small town challenge, but it's finding help.
The picture that comes to mind when I think of independent retail and the nationwide membership really, is those small mom and pop shops, Main Street mom and local independent businesses that, are in small towns. And there may be no better example of that than Renee Spresser, who you just heard there. Renee, the owner of Paul's Furniture in Selden, Kansas, a town of just 200 individuals. When we talk about small towns, that is about as small as you can get and still be a town. And Renee, saw an opportunity with Paul's Furniture, to scoop up a business that was important to the community there, and a story that we'll dive into. But an incredible person to learn about, how she got into this business, into the retail business. And really how far she's come and made a name for that business and everything she's got going on down there. Recently honored with a pillar, the Synchrony Pillar Award here right before primetime. And, get the chance. Primetime brings a lot of our members and vendors together and our members with us as well. So Renee was in Houston with us and was kind enough to break away from the show floor for a little bit and chat with us about the award, about some other really cool stuff she has going on. Anyone that knows Renee may also be aware of a video series that she has going on featuring those inflatable T-Rexes that have run rampant across the internet. So just a cool story and a cool business to learn about. So let's go ahead and dive into this podcast with Renee Spresser of Paul's Furniture. We're back on the Independent Thinking Podcast and coming to you again from Houston at Nationwide's Primetime Show back in Houston. Well, really first time, I think, in Houston. So this is a cool time for us. And right now we're sitting here with Renee Spresser of Paul's Furniture in Selden, Kansas. Renee,
yes.
A member of Nationwide. First of all, thank you for, I know schedules are crazy here. We're all over the place running around. Just got done lunch, but meetings left and right. So appreciate you finding some time to sit down and chat with us.
You're welcome. I'm happy to do it.
So what number primetime is this for you?
This is the one.
Number one.
I've never
been.
Yeah.
Okay. So what got you to want to come?
Well, Synchrony reached out to me about, coming and being part of their booth a little bit to kind of feature the Pillar Project. And I had always wanted to come, so I thought, hey, this is a great opportunity to do that and also to go to my first prime time and see what that's about.
Oh, that's awesome. So as your first prime time, you're kind of coming in blind. Is there anything you're excited about or that you're looking forward to seeing?
Well, it's always fun to go to any kind of market for me anyway. I mean, I guess when you're in retail, you're limited as far as your different categories of things you like to do. And not only do we generally like to do to sell furniture and do that kind of thing, we like to go look at furniture for some reason. So I always like to do that, reach out to other people and just networking and meeting other retailers. I found even as a Pillars Project winner, it was so great to talk to other business owners and see what they like, what they don't like, what they're doing. That actually is just, it's not something that you really think about when you go to prime time,
but it's actually
one of the most beneficial things you're going to come away with. I mean, is just talking to the other people and really getting a lot of their ideas.
Yeah. And I just give you a little background on me. I came from another side of the industry, a trade publication that used to cover this show. So I had always seen the trade show, but now being a part of Nationwide, this is my first prime time as a member of Nationwide and seeing, you never got to see this side of things, the education side and these networking events and, the classes and all the learning that goes on. You hear about it and, you hear that it's awesome, but to experience it. So we're coming at this together first time.
First timers
here. So, no, that's pretty awesome. So tell us a little bit about you and your business, Paul's Furniture. You and your husband own the business?
We both own the business, yep. But actually he doesn't really have a role in, okay. in the business other than trying to keep me financially afloat, if you ask him. He has an excavation business that's very successful, luckily,
awesome.
Because,
yeah.
Like I say, in a little bit, some of my lean times, I lean on him, and that's a good match for us. But the store has actually been there for 87 years and wow. had a great following as far as we're from a very rural area mm-hmm. in Northwest Kansas. And, you know, it's always been kind of a little scavenger treasure hunt type of place where you go in and it's five Main Street buildings all
wow.
stuck together. And, you know, there's all these different rooms.
It's like middle America.
Yes, yes. And so 7 years ago, we purchased it from the original owners who were basically just aging out. I mean, they yeah. would have stayed in there, you know, even longer if they weren't both in their mid-80s. And
wow.
so... I had been in insurance before that and was, a salesperson always, but,
okay.
We were afraid that the store was going to close, and in a town of 220 people,
that's
a huge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, we felt like, we were in a position to be able to do it. Everything just kind of fell together. So,
it
just seemed like the right thing to do and right choice for me as far as a career path.
That kind of answers the gist of what my next question was, is why retail. You did it to save a business that you felt was important. I guess another way of asking that, though, is, what made you feel comfortable that you could go, and you have the sales background, but insurance
right.
to retail is very similar in a sense because you're selling, but very different. So what made you confident and comfortable to hop into the retail space?
Different in a very good way. What I felt like was, as an insurance agent, I was selling a non-tangible product that
yeah,
people didn't
absolutely.
Want to buy. Then I all of a sudden found myself selling products that were tangible that people did want to buy. And so as I'm kind of a excitable, happy, fun person, and it's really hard to turn insurance into happy, fun, excitable type stuff. So, I'm high-fiving my customers. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And so, it was really fun for me to change that up that way. I didn't really consider myself to be a creative person before I got into retail of furniture, but now I see that I do have that side, and luckily I can watch a lot of HGTV and, steal Joanna Gaines's ideas. But
oh, Chip and Joanna.
Yes, yes, yes. I try to aspire, but...
Do you have a lot of shiplap in your store?
I do. I have big clocks, metal chairs. I always
awesome.
Tell people we can Joanna your space if you want. Even chocolate.
That's awesome. No, that's really cool. But so you talk about it a little bit. I mean, a town of 200, that has to present a lot of different challenges for, someone that, I come from Philadelphia,
right.
so a very different town, a couple million live in that metropolitan area. So Selden, Kansas, what's it like running a business in that type of town and community?
There's a lot of good and a lot of bad. I'd say the challenges that we encounter our logistics, for one, out and in. We mm-hmm. have a tough time sometimes getting products brought to us. On the other hand, I also have a little bit of a trouble getting things sent out from, mm-hmm. Some place that there's just not a lot of traffic and that kind of thing. Another challenge that I tend to have, and although I don't think it's just a small town challenge, but it's finding help, finding
yeah.
people who want to do such a physical job. A lot of moving furniture.
What is that like, finding talent? Because I know that's, in a separate podcast recently, we talked to the NFIB, National Federation of Independent Businesses, about what it's like. It's been a tough job market.
Right.
So, in a town of 200, the pool of talent is very small. So what is
right.
it like trying to find
right.
talent? How do you guys do that?
Well, when I was at the Pillars Project, we talked about HR when we were talking to other mm-hmm. businesses, and they were like, oh, I get 100 applicants and I narrow it down and I, do all
yeah.
these things. And they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, I just pray.
That
you
can
know?
Work too.
And, because, you just don't have a lot to choose from. And then it's hard to, as such a small business, honestly, it's me. And I have two people who work for me regularly,
wow.
and then
yeah.
maybe two or three that kind of fill in when we have trouble, like if I'm in prime time or, doing something. But, and honestly, I've kind of almost gone exclusively to women, which is kind of crazy when you're thinking about delivering furniture and that kind of thing. But there's a lot of, methods to move things and
sure.
in a way that it's not going to mm-hmm. cause injury to anybody. But, I you know, besides owning the business, I deliver all the time. I unload trucks every day. You know, it's just, you kind of have to do it all. And then I have to find people who are willing to do those things as well and do every aspect of the
business. So we hear constantly about owners that wear a lot of hats.
Right.
In a town like that and a business like that, everyone's wearing a lot of hats.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But, you know, even so, I mean, there's a lot of good things because it is such a small community and it's just more of a family. And,
yeah.
And you know, it's hard for me to think about living anywhere else. I mean, there's been other times that I have lived in the city and it seems like I always, you know, gravitate back to the small town. And I think it's just the way of life is slow and just a neat way to exist. I was
going to ask that, you know, having experienced both, I can't say I have the same experience, but you know, what is it like, what's the thing that attracts you to that small town lifestyle?
Well, speaking from actually this morning driving into downtown Houston,
traffic.
I would say the fact that I live in a town with two paved roads and I drive two blocks to work, it takes me approximately 5 seconds from my garage door shutting to getting to my store. And so that is a
awesome.
Huge perk. I don't get a lot of chance to catch up on my books on tape or anything, but I can sleep in.
Yeah, right?
So,
no, oh man, those 45-minute commutes, let me tell you, there's something else.
Yeah,
a lot you can do with that time.
Yes exactly.
But you know, speaking of your work and your showroom, you know, I know we'll get into the Pillar Award in a little bit here, but in the description that I read of the Pillar Award, your showroom was described as something of an attraction, you know, and able to bring customers in from hundreds of miles away, you know, in a town of 200, I guess you gotta have to, you know, attract that kind of attention and customers from that far. So, what is it about your showroom that makes it an attraction in your own words?
Okay. Well, I think that the store itself is a little bit of an attraction just because, like what I described, you know, it's five different buildings that are all together on Main Street. So what the current or the past owner did was they would, you know, they started out in a store, they'd buy next door, you know, break out a hole and go expand. So we have two separate basements, a whole, you know, middle floor. Then we have a little bit of an upstairs. So the building itself, but, you know, I've just really tried to, you know, update the look of the store, try to make there be, you know, a category of furniture for every single buyer. I also really try hard to have different things than the other retailers that are in the larger towns around me. Because, you know, why would you drive to Selden if you're going to get the same product at the same price? You know, might as well buy it where you're at, you know. Yeah. So I just try to be different. I just try to some of my online marketing and things like that have really proved to be important. And, you know, just like I say, just trying to make it a place that people want to go. Just, hey, I just want to go see what's going on over there. And that has really proved to work well.
Has anyone ever bragged to you about how far away they've come from to see your store?
Well, I do tell people that I have delivered to Nashville, Tennessee, but you know, to give you the whole story there, that was my daughter.
Hey, was it a sale?
Yes, it was. But you know, I've even had people from Denver. You know, I mean, once they realize the difference in my prices and things, and if they have any kind of ties to Western Kansas, which is only 2.5-3 hours away. Yeah. You know, I do that, you know, every so often.
That's pretty cool.
I have delivered up to Woodland Park and Colorado Springs, you know, and that was just people finding us online and coming down and just see what we had. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is there a, you know, with that much space, is there like a part of your, obviously you're the, as an owner, you're going to love every corner and square inch of your showroom and your store, but is there a particular part of it or a area that you think does better for you or that you're more attracted to or that excites you a little bit more than some of the others?
I don't know if I could pick out a particular product that I like better than other things. I think the thing that I like the most is just because it is a small place and I don't have 100 people in there at a time. Mm-hmm. I generally have time to spend with my customers. And that's just, you know, it just seems like the thing that is most valuable to them And also to me is that, you know, that connection and that time that we can spend, and I can really figure out, you know, a lot of times people walk through the door and they don't actually even know really what they want. And they may be saying they want something, but then they keep pointing out other things. And it gives me time to kind of key in on that and really get to the bottom of what they're trying to accomplish. And it just seems like a good formula.
That's awesome. So you already kind of talked about this a little bit, but the creative side that you've been able to tap into, we got to talk about these videos.
Okay. So have you watched the videos?
I have. I spent some time at your website is kind of like the YouTube rabbit hole.
Yes.
Like you get into one and it's like, oh my God, I got to keep going.
Yes.
And describe to our audience, you know, first of all, just what these videos are, and then we'll get into sort of how they came together.
Okay. Well, basically, there's a series of videos. I do have some other things going on with my videos, but I started seeing those inflatable T-Rex outfits on YouTube and Facebook and places.
The people that run the marathons, exactly, or like the 100-yard dashes in the T-Rex costumes.
Well, the one that came out of the horse racing deal, snowball fights and stuff. And it occurred to me that no matter what those inflatable T-Rexes are doing, it is funny. You know, there is nothing that you can do in an inflatable T-Rex outfit that is not humorous. And so,
fair point.
Yes. And so my philosophy on marketing is, you know, I don't think that you should, you know, shove product down people's throats. I mean, I feel like, you know, you're going to get so much more interest. And like I say, I'm trying to get people to go, hey, what is going on over there? Let's go see what's going on in that store. And so I started thinking, you know, if I'd come up with some videos, and especially in the Facebook side of things where I'm not limited to 30 seconds that I'm trying to do something on a TV ad. I have this, you know, not unlimited time, but more time, and I could just entertain people, and they're kind of like, I really like her. She's not afraid to make fun of herself, and she's not afraid to make a fool of herself. And so, you know, and I think the more you see somebody in that way, like even just your favorite TV character, you start feeling like you know them.
It humanizes you in a sense.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So I kind of felt like people are going to start going, I feel like I know her already, and I feel like I'm comfortable with her. You know, maybe this is not for everybody. I mean, maybe there are some people who have not come to the store because of that.
I want to meet the person that doesn't like the T-Rex
costume. I know.
I just want to find out, like, do they have a soul? Do they have a heart?
Right, exactly.
You can't not like those things. But.
And so I just started thinking, hey, it'd be really fun. Like, the one that is called The Best Boss is, you know, basically based on every HR video you're ever going to watch. And my mother was one of the dinosaurs. She was one of the people inside the dinosaur. She's the one I kick at the end accidentally. And I just thought, hey, you know, we can just do silly things with the dinosaurs and just, you know, see what happens. And it really has become kind of a thing. Everybody's like, when's the next video going to be out?
Starts as a fun idea. Is it something that does the creative genius just continue to flow?
It does. I just, you know, I'll see something, or I'll see another commercial, or I'll see, you know, a TV show, and I'll think, that would actually be kind of fun. How could I work that into, you know, I try to make it pretty about cool furniture, you know, yeah, I mean, not, it's not completely random, but I just think it, well, I will give you a little bit of a teaser right now. I'm working on an epic music video where I have a little rap that continues on the, if you need furniture, come see Nene. And the dinosaurs are, of course, my backup dancers.
Oh, that's
amazing. And also my, you know, my crew that's going to help me get that rap, so stay tuned for that. If you're watching my videos, you may want to check that out.
We'll be on the lookout. That's so awesome. Oh man. And a lot of fun too. And it, you know, it really makes kind of what you do fun and, you know, showcase your passion for it in a different way. And everyone has their thing, and yours just happens to be inflatable T-Rex costumes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, bless the person who came up with those, because they have to be doing well. But, you know, like I say, anything you're doing in an inflatable dinosaur outfit is just funny by nature. You can't even be not funny.
But back to the Pillar program. I want to get back to, you know, the Synchrony Pillar Award. You mentioned that you were honored with one. Tell us a little bit about that program. And then obviously, too, you know, what having a partner like Synchrony has done for you.
Well, let me start with the fact that the CEO of Synchrony was at New York when we went there. And And he is very passionate about small business. And so I think that is just an amazing thing for somebody that's at that level, you know, in his career and, you know, trying to really, I guess what I want to say is, it's just kind of his passion. I mean, it's not you know, it's kind of, you don't think about that all the time, but he, that's what he's really gearing toward. And so he came up with this Pillars project because they have the Inc. 500 or 5,000.
Yeah,
5,000.
Yes, yep.
And, you know, so that's, you know, those are the businesses that I could never compete with ever because they're, you know, just they're $1 million companies and $1 million ideas. But he thinks that, you know, there are 5,000 of those businesses that are, you know, and there's probably more of them out there. But why feature just that? There are so many small businesses that really need a voice and, you know, need some recognition. And I just thought that was so great. And so they sent out the invitation to apply for that award. And when I was reading the description, I thought, you know, I could win this. Nene in the town of 2000 with her dinosaurs and, you know, just a little quirkiness. But I just felt like, you know, I really feel like they're speaking to me. They wanted somebody who was important to their community, gave back to their community in different philanthropy type things. And then also the online marketing, they really, you know, wanted somebody that was looking at that kind of thing. And when I went and met the rest of the winners, you know, they're from all over different industries, but we all had a lot in common about, you know, we were small businesses just trying to kind of find our path. And it was just a great opportunity. And we just, all of us felt so, so blessed that Synchrony would take the time to recognize us, first of all, to invest back into our businesses, you know, treat us so well as they did. And so I definitely, anybody listening to this podcast, I say, if you get that invitation from Synchrony in the spring,
take it seriously
and see what you can do, because they, and in fact, even if that doesn't happen, they really have a lot of great programs that are all about us keeping our businesses viable.
Ah, that's awesome. And you know, obviously a big partner here on the show floor, and
right,
a lot of great stuff that comes out of them. And to see them, like you said, caring about this, in this side of the business, the smaller businesses out there, and you know, being willing to partner with you guys. Not
right.
Even the award program obviously is an excellent honor and a well-deserved honor for sure, but to like even be willing to partner with this industry, the independent business, and you know,
right,
see how they've committed themselves to it, it's awesome.
Right,
it's really
right.
Cool. But any last words? I, you know, I've taken up more of your time here at your first prime. This shouldn't be a podcast show for you.
Like,
there's plenty more to do at prime time than talk on a podcast. But you know, what words of advice would you leave to some of the independents or members listening to this podcast?
I would just say, you know, it's everybody's in it together. The one thing that I did learn going to the Pillars Project, and even just today talking to all the other retailers that I've had a couple meals with and things, you know, we really are all doing the same thing. And don't be afraid to reach out to even just a local business. And, you know, I came home and started thinking about that different, as, you know, hey, this is not a competition. You know, I have my strength, they have their strength. And, you know, there's maybe times that I need a little help and they need a little help. And, you know, why not reach out and see? I really think that people would be surprised what they're going to find out, that, you know, that there's a good camaraderie and everybody's doing and fighting against the same thing. So,
that's awesome. And I think a nice cap to pretty awesome conversation with you.
Yep.
So this has been fun. And Renee, I appreciate, again, you taking the time to come on and sit down with us here in the George R. Brown Convention Center at prime time, and hope you enjoy the rest of your show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you got it. Awesome. And thanks again to Renee for, you know, joining us and sitting down in the middle of the George R. Brown Convention Center there in Houston, and giving us a little glimpse of what it's like to be in business down there in Selden, Kansas. So appreciate, as always, you taking the time to listen to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you on the next episode.